Greetings in Jesus' name. Thank you once again for having me here. And it is indeed an honor for me to share the Word of God with you and the Cathedral family this weekend. My sermon is entitled, Work as Worship, Love Thy Neighbor. So I want to begin with a special announcement. Today is Good Neighbor Day. So can you help me by turning to the person on your left and right and wish each other a happy Good Neighbor Day? Thank you. Well, brothers and sisters, not only is Good Neighbor Day good, but it is also biblical. Because the Word of God commands us in Leviticus 19, verse 18, and it says this, love your neighbor as yourself. And when Jesus was asked, which is the greatest of all commandments? He replied in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to these words. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, many have summarized the great commandment as love God and love people. While this is generally true, my view is that in this generalization, we may have contributed to many of us missing a crucial aspect of this great truth. Because you see, as we take a closer look at this command, it is not just about what you do, but also where you do. Love your neighbor. I want to suggest to you that the great commandment, love your neighbor, draws our focus to where this love is to be worked out. My neighbor, my friend next door, my work colleague next to me, my classmate, the person sitting beside me. You see, this intentional locational focus makes the outworking of this commandment very unique for each and every one of us. Because you see, your neighbor is not my neighbor. And my neighbor is not your neighbor. At home, at work, or even at play. And to give added weight to this truth, in Matthew 22, Jesus used a very familiar Hebraic language structure that further amplifies this truth. And that is to say this, that to love God with all your heart is to love your neighbor, and to love your neighbor is to love God with all your heart. They are both equal and equivalent in value, weight, and meaning. It is not one trying to illustrate the other. Therefore, it is always on God's heart that when work as worship is to therefore love thy neighbor. And to love thy neighbor is work as worship. Let me say that again. Work as worship is to love your neighbor, and loving your neighbor is work at worship. You know, the Apostle Paul was even more specific and direct. If you turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, you will see this verse, and it says, The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Many of us know that the laws of God is God's vision for His kingdom. It is God's vision for His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Love your neighbor. Therefore, I'm personally convinced that there is a kingdom strategy for national transformation here. Love your neighbor. Where you live, where you work, where you study, and where you play. You see, there's, I believe, a genius in this plan. We see a very personal responsibility with a very wider corporate outcome and an even far-reaching community impact. A national transformation plan that begins so simply, one person, one neighbor at a time. And the exciting news is this. It is not just for pastors, leaders, and so-called committed Christians. It is for all of us. It is for all of us. This is something all of us can be a part of. Therefore, the question that I want to help answer today as we share the Word of God is, how can we fulfill God's purposes and plans where we live, where we work, and where we play? Or simply put, what does it take to be a good neighbor where God has placed us? So allow me to share with you three simple steps that you and I can take to be a good neighbor. Step number one, you first need to accept your place in God's plan. Yes, it starts with acceptance. A good neighbor first accepts his place in God's plan. As it is often happens somehow, that it always looks like the grass is greener on the other side. We grumble and we complain a lot about where we live and where we work. There's always something to gripe about. Very Singaporean, right?
Okay.
Right. So very often we are told, and many of us we know and we have been told, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and I'm sure many of us would agree. But this morning, would I encourage you, would you also then accept this, that God has a wonderful place for your life? God has a wonderful place for your life, right there where He has placed you. You see, this truth comes out of Acts 17, verse 26. Let's read it again. From one man, He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. The key word here that Paul uses is God determined, God fixed, God planned, God appointed the exact place where they should live. Where we are is not a random scatter. God did not just take a bunch of heads and bodies and throw them in the air, and wherever they land, and in some place or so, bang, that's it. Creator God did not just determine who you are, but where we are. In next generation language, it simply means this. Where you do life is as important as what life you do. Okay? Right? Where you do life is as important as what life you do. So, will you accept the where God has placed you? What does acceptance mean? I believe it begins first with a commitment to the land. A commitment to the place where we live. A commitment to the place where we work. A commitment to the place where we play. And even a commitment to your church. It is a commitment to your friend next door to you. It is a commitment to the working colleague that sits beside you, or the student friend that is walking beside you. It is a commitment to the people around you, even as God placed you there. So how can we start? I believe we start by simply being able to pray for our neighbors. To pray for our neighbors. I have a dear friend, the late Pastor Rick Siebert. Many of us know him as the mission church planter extraordinary. Right? And he passed away 3 years ago very suddenly. But when people made a count of the number of churches he planted around the world, it seems that it was close to maybe 10,000 to 11,000 churches around the world that Pastor Rick Siebert has been able to influence. I got to know him quite well as we worked together in the Love Singapore Leadership Committee. Right? And in one of those moments when I sat down with him, when he moved first to his place in his apartment in Woodlands, he said to me, "Eugene, you know, I travel in and out, fly here and there. Sometimes I don't find myself in Singapore and all." And it is true. We often try to catch him whenever he's in Singapore. But he says, "You know, I started praying for my neighbor. And as I prayed for my neighbor, this is what happens. I somehow, when I come back from the airport, I walk into the lift lobby, my neighbor is there. When I go back into my house, and then when I want to go out and buy some makan from a food down the food court downstairs, my neighbor is there." And God brings that kind of a divine encounter for him to the point where he can invite his neighbor to the home for those occasions, have a meal with them, and very soon was able to share with them that he's a pastor and had invited them to church. I share that simple story because I believe this can happen to every one of us. That when you begin to pray for your neighbor, God will give you that divine encounters to even have them and connect with them for where you are. Because when you start accepting the place where God has given to you, you know this commitment to the land and the commitment to pray for the land comes out of Jeremiah 29:7-2. It says this, "Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Over the years in my journey with the ministry, I've had many privileges of speaking in many churches around Singapore, and I am so excited to see this vision, this desire of being committed to the land that God has placed us in coming forth in many of the local churches. The church I worship in now called Living Century Brethren Church, Pastor Lawrence Chua, they were a church in Pasir Panjang, about 200-300 people. And when God challenged them to move north, that was the word given to them. They went to Aukang, God opened a land, they bid it for a church building there, and in that small congregation, they planted a church in Aukang. So the joke I always tell people is this: if you want to get Pastor Lawrence Chua, Senior Pastor of Living Center, to do anything for you, just mention the three magic words, Aukang, Sengkang, and Punggol, okay? When you mention that, he will surely support you, because he is so focused, his vision and the church vision is always to adopt the land that God has placed in him. Now, not only is it in LSBC, but I see that in other churches, and I can name you a few, but one of the exciting new ones that is going on right now is Church of Our Savior, Pastor Daniel Wee, in Queenstown. He is networking with the churches around Queenstown, and he's sharing with us all the exciting things that are happening. In fact, I was just with him over the last few weeks, and he was telling us that every month, about 10,000 households in the Queenstown area is being visited by his members and the members of the churches there. They have adopted Queenstown as the place that God has placed them. And I was telling some of your leaders here that I also had the privilege of speaking to the people in Chapel of the Resurrection, right? Pastor David Lee. And they also have been telling themselves, God, you placed us here in St. Andrew's School, in the St. Andrew's Village, right? There is a reason for that. And there's a purpose for that. And for Porong Pasay. And so they've adopted the school, they've adopted Porong Pasay as their place where God has given to them. This weekend, when I come here to St. Andrew's Cathedral, I come with a conviction to encourage St. Andrew's Cathedral that God has a unique call for this congregation, for this church, this place in the city. By your geography and by your history, I sense that God wants to challenge this church again to rise up in that calling, in this place that God has placed you. In fact, as I was praying for the church, I've been saying, Lord, the Lord gave me this picture and this word that this will be a place of new birth, a place of new beginnings. And I believe that anointing is here for that to happen. You have a unique location. You have a unique, iconic building, you know. And I believe God has placed St. Andrew's Cathedral in a very strategic, spiritually strategic position for God. Will you accept God's place in His plan? What does it take to be a good neighbor? Number one, when you accept your place in God's plan. Number two, when you align God's plan in your place. You see, after acceptance comes alignment. Why God puts us where we are? Why did God determine the very place where you are? And the answer is very clear. If you turn back again to Acts 17, verse 27, and this is what it says, and God did this so that, you know, I can tell people, I said, you don't need a PhD in theology to understand those few words, okay? God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. As they say, for best results, follow manufacturer's instructions in the manual, right? For best results of living life God's way, we need to go back again to the manual. We need to go back again to align God's intention as to the why we live where He has placed us. His purposes, His plans in this place. Let us look again at that verse and you will see what I call a three-step outcome of God's intention. When we align our living with His plans so that, one, men will seek Him, two, reach out to Him, and then find Him. I say these are like the three faith stages of receptivity of our neighbors to God when we live out God's purposes and plans where He has placed us. How does this work? Let me share with you. I believe, step one, so that they would seek Him. Okay? How can we do that? We can be a bridge of blessing. Where God has placed you, the first thing that you and I can do is to make a difference. Be a blessing where He has placed us. This step two, so that they could reach out to him. For people to reach out to him, they will probably have a need. So we can be a channel of care. We can extend a hand of care, a stand of help. As they reach out and extend for your hand, they are reaching out to God. And finally, that they would be able to find him. I think that's where we can be a deliverer of destiny. That's where we can manifest the Savior, manifest the Jesus in our lives. In fact, if you know the passage of which this text comes from, Paul was preaching to a group of people who was trying to understand the unknown God. And I think through this, God can be made known. So to put it simply, God has placed us in the neighborhood or in the place where he has placed us for this very simple reason, to be an agent of blessing. So that our friends next to us, at work, at home, at play, can seek him, reach out to him, and find him. I call this the power of proximity. The power and value of proximity. The power and value of being nearby and being next to somebody. No one else can take that from you. So how can we align God's plan where he has placed us? I believe we need the Holy Spirit. We need an alignment to what the Father in heaven is doing. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to lead us, and to obey what the Spirit leads us to do. In fact, in Isaiah 1:19, it says this, right? If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from your land. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from your land. I had a young leader one Sunday morning who found herself walking around Parkway Parade shopping center because she was looking for a place to sit down and maybe have a quiet time because her parents were attending the first service in church at Marine Parade. And somehow or other, when she walked around, she couldn't find a place to sit down. And the only available bench had a guy sitting on the end of it. And she said, well, I've got no choice but to sit down at this end. So when she approached the bench and sat down there, she noticed this guy that was next to her. And she noticed that that man's face was not looking so good. So she had a prompting in the spirit, say, God says, pray for him. Pray a blessing for him, you know, even as you sit down. And so like every young people, the first thing they did was take out their phone and started texting all her cell members and says, hey guys, you know, I'm sitting here in Parkway Parade. I got this guy sitting at the other end of the bench. You know, I sense the Holy Spirit wanting me to just pray for him. You know, can you just pray along? You know what to do? And as she was texting that text, okay, she started sneezing, okay, not just once, but seven times. Achoo, 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 achoo. Until the man turned to her and says, 小姐, 你好吗? And that gave an opening for her to turn around and said, how are you doing? I just feel prompted that I'd like to pray a blessing for you. Right, would you allow me to do that? And then she got to know him and found out that he was a China construction worker, right, who was not feeling well and was going to the polyclinic nearby that Sunday morning. And as she begins to talk to him, she says, hey, at 11:30 in my church, there's a Chinese service. Maybe after the clinic, you can go there and then maybe walk into the church, okay? And that's exactly what that man did. And at 11:30, he attended the Chinese service, and at the end of the service, he walked down the aisle and gave his life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Alignment to God's plan and purposes, we're in the place where he has placed you, is to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to draw, not yourself, but to draw men and point men, people back to Jesus. So how can we be a good neighbor? Number one, accept your place in God's plan. Number two, align God's plan in your place. Number three, act in faith by going the extra mile. Finally, it is about stepping out. It is about acting in faith and going the extra mile. Acts 17 verse 28 closes with this verse, and it says, for in him we live and move. In him we live and move and have our being. I'd like to close with just, in one sense, a familiar good neighbor story to many of us. In Luke chapter 5 verse 17 to verse 26, it is a story about how Jesus healed the paralytic. And let me read it to you. One day, as he was teaching, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way, they do this because of the crowd. They went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Jesus knew that what they were thinking in their and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I want you to notice that there were two types of neighbors in this story. One neighbor was the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, religious, pious ones. And the Word of God tells us what they were doing. They were just sitting there. And then what about the other? The other was what I call the caring and the caring neighbors. Okay? And they were seeking and doing everything they can to bring their friend to Jesus. You know, as an architect, I know it's difficult. It takes a lot of trouble. It takes a lot of effort to go the extra mile, to go up under the roof, remove the tiles, and lay that man before Jesus. But you see, the key point in this story is in verse 20. Here's the key point where Jesus said, they said, Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith, the faith that was acted out. They went the extra mile. You see, it is the friend's faith that moved Jesus more than just, in one sense, the need that was placed before him. That's why an important faith lesson that we can learn here is simply this. It can be said that Jesus does not just respond to needs, he responds to faith. Jesus does not just respond to needs, he responds to faith. Do you remember another story? When Jesus was asked by the blind man, or when Jesus was put before a blind man, what did Jesus ask him? "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, many of us would say, "Wait, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You know what blind man before you, surely you know his need." So when Jesus asked that question, he was not turning that, asking that man to express a need. In fact, when Jesus asked that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" he was trying to get that man to express, move from his need to a point of faith. So when the blind man said, "I want to see," it was not an expression of need. It was an expression now of faith that the man before him is the one that he was going to put his faith in and allow him to heal him and then get him well. He was declaring faith in Jesus, and that was what moved him. So what kind of neighbor will you be? Remember again, your faith can move Jesus to respond. Because every time we talk about loving our neighbor, we have all the excuses. We have all the things. This person cannot lie, beyond hope lie, you know, that kind of thing. How can this person, you know, even come to know Christ? But it is your faith that can move Jesus. What a revelation. What an encouragement. Are you ready? Are you ready and willing to let Jesus see your faith? In closing, I want to just close with another good neighbor story. And this starts with, once upon a time, there was a kind, retired old man that lived across the street from this young family. He noticed that there was a little boy in this family about 3 years old. He was not sure if this family was even Christian or not. So he went across the street and asked the parents' permission to bring this little boy to Sunday school at a church that was just behind the house. This little boy had so much fun in Sunday school, learning all the songs, hearing all the Bible stories, and playing all the games. And it was not long after that that the mother and the rest of the family got introduced to that church too. This little boy continued to enjoy church so much that at a tender age of 10, he responded to an altar call and gave his life to Jesus. He grew in his faith and became active serving in the church. In the meantime, that kind old neighbor passed away with no fanfare or no grand send-off. Even that little boy was not aware of his passing as he was still a little boy. This kind old neighbor passed on without even knowing that this little boy that he brought to Sunday school eventually graduated from university, became a professional, and then answered God's call into full-time ministry. became a pastor in a local church in Singapore, and at the same time led a fairly large community service organization. That is quite well recognized even in Singapore today. I suppose some of you may guess already that this is my story. How a good neighbor first held my hand when I was just 3 years old and walked me to church. And one day when I get to heaven and meet this dear old uncle again, I will say, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Now you know why I believe in Good Neighbor Day. God can use any one of us to be a good neighbor today. Can I pray for you? Father, as we bow before your very presence, I know you have spoken to each and every one of us in our own unique way. You have placed people before our eyes. You have shown us in our mind the neighbors and the people that you have surrounded us with. And Lord, you call us to love them, to be a blessing. Lord, I also know that there are some of us today who have been grumbling about where you have placed us. Lord, today I pray you will settle that in their heart and to know that, God, you have determined that. You have determined that. And for that, Lord, there is a plan and purpose why you have placed us there. So, Father, today I pray for divine appointments, divine engagements, divine encounters so that our neighbors will be blessed as they begin to see Christ in each and every one of us. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.